You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
It's the Texas Showdown in the postseason, and BetOnline is your number one source for all your baseball wagering info, with up-to-the-minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals for baseball, the NFL, college football, all at your fingertips with BetOnline's real-time updates on statistics, news, and odds. We have everything you need to stay up to speed on each LCS all the way through to the World Series. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hello and welcome to Prospect Minded with Patrick Bexell. We're going to talk Swiss hockey. We're going to talk with our famous expert, and it's Thomas Rost of Central Scouting. Thomas, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's always a great honor discussing with you about NHL hockey.
And if I sound a little bit weird, I've come down with a man flu. So, you know, I'm about to die or head explode or something. But no, it's not that serious. First and foremost, Thomas, in regards to both Rohrer and in regards to Reinbacher, National League went from 4 import players to 6 import players. How has that affected the league now that you played about 10 games?
I would say the average level of the league did improve because of this. But it also had some negative aspects in a way, but not as much as some critics in the beginning did think. The negative aspects are not so many ice time for younger players, not so many places to, you know, to show what they can do. But the real good young players, they still have a place in the team rosters and they have ice time. But maybe the average young players, they suffer a little bit, first of all. Then what definitely is maybe a negative, definitely is a negative aspect, is maybe for the goalies. I have problems to see young Swiss goalies getting some ice time because nearly all teams now have an import goalie. And this import goalie plays a lot, and young goalies need playing time also, need experience in this position. And this is maybe the negative aspect for the Swiss hockey in a way. The league improved, the league level improved, and I'm still waiting actually with these 6 imports. And because of the money is pretty good in Switzerland, in the Swiss league, that I expect that in the Champions League, a Swiss team can challenge for championship.
We talk about the Champions Hockey League, and unfortunately, it's not at the same level as the Football Champions League yet.
No, it's not.
because we would need an NHL team in there for that. But
oh yes.
But in regards to you're struggling a little bit this year with Champions Hockey League, with your Swiss team, not as bad as the winners though, because currently Tappara is sitting outside the playoffs looking in. But it's interesting you say that the good players will still play, but the Swiss team, the under-20 team, has been on a steady rise over the last couple of years. Will this mean that young players will go into North America faster or maybe choose other routes, like we have seen Austrian and Slovak players maybe go to Sweden or Finland to develop?
I think yes. The very best young players will stay in the Swiss league because they will challenge for good ice time in a pro league already if they are maybe draftees in the draft year. But these are exceptions. Most of the young, of the pretty good average Swiss under 18 players, if they have a chance to go to North America, to go to Scandinavia, to play there, they will take this chance, I'm sure. Because I also think the best way is to play in the Swiss league with good ice time, with responsibility. And the second best way would then be North America or Scandinavia. Because the the junior league in Switzerland doesn't have the level to really improve them. It's a big gap from first line to third and fourth line in junior league teams, and this doesn't help for developing the good players who play for the under 18 or under 20 national team.
Looking at it from a point of view from Montreal Canadiens prospects, obviously we got Vincent Rohrer in the Zurich. Strong team. We spoke about it before with Malgin coming over. Andre Ghetto is there, and there are other famous players. Arguably one of the teams with the biggest budget in the whole of Europe. And are you surprised to see Rohrer having had that success with keeping ice time around 12 to 15 minutes, scoring every now and then in the first 10 games of the season?
No, I'm not very surprised, because I was pretty high on him all the time. And I think he definitely can be at least a very good pro player in our league. And he has still a chance to develop into an NHL player, I would say. And he actually confirmed what I did know from him and what I did read from my colleagues from North America, from Central Scouting, who did make a lot of reports about him. So I was actually quite positive that he will make the team in Zurich. He confirmed this. And I really like how he plays. I like him. He's scanning the ice all the time. He's in advance of what happens on the ice in his brain, and he has the knack of being open, always his positioning open, that he can scoring chances also because of this. I also like he has very good playmaking, good puck skills, very confident with the puck also. His problem right now in the Pro League in Zurich is his physicality. He gets knocked off the puck quite often. He is not heavy, not big enough. His weight is not, his strength is not, he's not strong enough yet to really compete. But nearly everything else, the hockey IQ, the energy level, and he's not afraid. Even if he gets knocked down by opponents physically, he's not afraid. He goes into the mix. He's really a positive element even in this team, and this team is the highest budget team in all Europe, probably, maybe except some 2-3 KHL teams. But yes, he's a positive element in this team already, and respect, he has a very good season so far.
Will Mark Crawford be that guy to be able to bring out the best of Vincent Rohrer?
I don't know.
Or is he
more
focused,
the guy the best?
Or is he more focused to win the league? Because that is something that Zurich has been saying they should win for ages. And one of my non-favorite coaches, Richard Grönborg, didn't succeed in his time there.
Yeah, I think Mark Crawford has definitely the advantage that he knows the NHL, and he knows what is needed from a young player to succeed in the NHL, and he can definitely teach him and tell him a lot of stuff about this. Whether he is now the best option overall, I don't know. He gives him a chance. He has ice time. This is definitely positive, but this ice time is not because he supports him or gives him some advantages or treats him positively unfair compared to other players. This is because Vincent Rohrer is a good player and is already a positive element. And I wouldn't overrate the influence of a coach. I think the main responsibility for a player to be prepared and for NHL is the player himself, that he works hard, he has a good mentality, good work ethic. And so even if there are some distractions, even the coach sometimes maybe treats him unfair to the bad or unfair to the good, that he can stay the same and keep an even keel in his development by himself.
looking at it, you know, I agree with you. You see him scanning the ice very well. He has these options. He reads the game very well. From what I've seen, watching some NL games, and I'm still saying NLA, but
it's, me too.
it seems like he struggles with a shot. He's not getting that quick release off. It's the goals he's scoring is tip-ins, it's empty netters, and he's getting the chances, but putting them in the net at a high pace is what I see him struggle mostly with now.
It's interesting. If I looking up my notes, I can't see a note that the shot is his strength. Definitely not. But
No, it's not a strength. That's what I'm saying as well. I'm thinking that it should be better. He's getting to.
Yeah, I agree with this because I can't see positive notes about his shots. But to be honest, I also didn't write it down that this is negative. So it's maybe you're right. I have to watch this more closely about his shot quality. But it's definitely not one of his calling cards.
Indeed, not. And what it would be a realistic expectations now that we have seen Rohr in a few games for his season? I mean, Andre Gette was back this weekend. Malgin is about to come return to the ice as well. Do you think he will stay up or will he go to the B League for Zurich?
I think he will stay up. I really liked him. Maybe sometimes, maybe a couple of games, but I definitely expect that he will stay up for clearly more than 50% of the games. This because he's really a positive element that brings some advantage to the team. It's not just developing a young player and allowing him making mistakes because we want to develop this player in first place. He deserves to be on this team in my eye.
We'll be right back after these messages. Please lower your volume accordingly.
Over the weekend, he played about 13 minutes a game. He got some power play time. Is that what we should expect, or should we expect more the longer the season progresses because he's getting warm into clothes and being able to maybe get that chemistry going with his teammates?
No, I would actually expect that this is ongoing, what he had now, because as you mentioned, some players come back now. They take maybe a little bit ice time on the one hand. On the other hand, he plays well. He will stay with this, but I don't expect that this will grow a lot towards the end of the season. Because he's a positive element, he's not one of the core players yet in this team, but he's one of the better middle range players.
Very, very interesting. You have one guy in Zurich that we want to hear a little bit about, and I know you're keeping an eye on him a little bit extra as well for the draft. Danili Ustinkov, what can you tell us about him? Can he make that meteoric climb as Rheinbacher did last year?
I wouldn't. I don't think he will be number 5 overall in the end in the draft. But I give him chance to become a late first round pick. Right now, I have him as a second rounder, but this is a dynamic process and he can improve. 1 year ago, at this time of the year, Rheinbacher was also a second round pick on my sheet, and a lot can happen. He's a different player than Rheinbacher. He is an offensive butterfly. And when he plays junior, I think some coaches would have problem with him because he's very creative and very unpredictable and maybe not the best guy to play within a system. He's very good with the puck. He's a purely in the junior league, a purely offensive defenseman. He also was forward when he was a child, and they changed him to a defenseman just maybe 1, 2, 3 years ago. And he's the opposite of a reliable, steady, high percentage defensive defenseman.
So you're saying he's Sandin Pelica more than Reinbacher?
Yes. I would tell this. Yeah. He's very fascinating. We have another guy, a defenseman in Zug. This Leon Mukli, who I'm nearly as high as Ustinkov, but he's the complete opposite. He's a pure, you never will get out of your seat if you watch him playing, but he doesn't make mistakes. He always takes the safe choice for decisions. He's very reliable, very steady, very heady. And Ustinkov is a little bit opposite. But what I have to tell now, when he plays for the ZSC Lions in the pro team, he doesn't play like this yet. He really plays much more conservative. Lately, he started to become a little bit more confident with the puck. Also got some misses then, did lose the puck sometimes. But the coach didn't bench him then immediately. And this is a very positive from a coach. You have to allow a creative player like Ustinkov to make mistakes and not bench him immediately after one, because this is his strength. He can create, he can rush down the ice. He's very good with the puck. He can win one-on-one battles with the puck and create options and offense.
Thank you so much, Tomas. It's always enlightening to hear your voice and to hear your insights. I'm going to finish with one question that I actually forgot to ask you when we spoke about the National League. In regards to the leagues in the world and in regards to Europe, where would you rank National League nowadays with what's going on with KHL and with the extra added imports into the system?
I have to give it two answers. The first answer is, in terms of entertainment level, I think the National League is the top league in Europe, because it's firewagon hockey up and down. It's unbelievable attractive with a lot of goal scoring chances, but not very structured. It's not very structured all the time, not very good defense all the time, but entertainment level is, for me, definitely the second best league after the NHL. In terms of the real level, sportive level, I think with the six imports, the level did raise again, and it's now probably pretty close in a way to the Swedish, to the Finnish league. But if you watch in the Champions League these games against these teams, I still see some small advantages of the Scandinavian league, top league teams. Overall, especially in the depth in the third and fourth line, I think they are better. They have the better basic education, better shooting quality, better passing quality in average. But maybe the top line players are definitely as good in our league.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think entertainment value, and obviously with the fantastic crowds that the National League has.
This helps also, yes.
It helps, mm-hmm. And it brings out the best of the players. You get some very good players, especially with how the Swedish crown is fluctuating against the dollar and the Swiss franc. But also, I think the structure is maybe what is lacking in Switzerland, which is very strong. But I have it as, for me personally, I have the SHL on top, but I have National League quite close. And then I have a drop-off for KHL and Liga right now because of the players fleeing KHL more or less.
Oh, yeah. The KHL level did go down definitely after losing that many players. This is clear. But I'm not sure whether it's already... Yeah, maybe the top teams in the KHL are still very good.
Yeah,
but not the bottom 50% of the teams, definitely not. Yeah.
And there you have it. We thank Tomas again for his insights, and we wish you all the best, Tomas. Thank you so much for joining us.
All the best to you, and thank you for having me. It was a great time, as always.
This has been presented by Bet Online.